All right, the message today, Be Happy. Title of the message today, next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, it's going to be Happy. It's saying the week that we've been, the weeks prior to this. But it is different in that today, it's Be Happy in Parenting. You say, oh, Brother Doug, that's impossible. No, it's not. You can't be a happy parent if you parent God's way. That's the key. Now, I'm not going to stand here and present to you that it'll always be easy. No. But there is a satisfaction in knowing that you have been the parent that God has called you to be. And that has to be the goal, right? Let's stand as we look at the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Be happy in parenting. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's our verse for the day. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we come to you seeking your guidance, seeking your instruction, seeking your strength in being the parents you have called us to be. Father, we do so need you in our parenting. We know that we can't do this alone. There are so many trials, so many temptations, so many things to draw our children away from you. Lord, help us as parents to consistently point them back to you. Lord, I pray that in this message, you will be the center and that you will receive honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. All right, the first thing I would point out to you, mothers, did you notice this is addressed to the fathers? Where's mothers here? Huh? Why is this, does this open, this verse 4 open, and you, and it's kind of, and you, fathers, as if fathers were bad about provoking their children to wrath? Well, in that day, you have to understand the father was the head of the home. He was the ultimate head, which he still should be according to the Word of God, right? Amen? Amen. And so, in that day, men had a tendency to abuse it. As a matter of fact, in the Roman culture, I'm told that when a baby was born, they would lay that baby in front of the dad. If the dad picked up that baby, it meant he accepted it. If he left the baby laying there, it meant he rejected that baby and that they could walk away and just leave that baby to die. And I thought, wow, how horrible is that? But you can see here that the tendency for maybe fathers to be to that in that headship role, that leadership authority role, to go overboard. That's why we're told, do not provoke your children to wrath. And so as we consider that statement, I also want to consider 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Okay? Fathers, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Fathers, if you are not the father that God has called you to be, you're worse than an unbeliever. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? And I want you to understand that the needs that we're talking about here, it's not just food, shelter, and clothing. It's love, it's emotional needs, it's spiritual needs, it's every aspect of the child. And if you do not provide that, and don't get me wrong, understand, I realize we all have failures. And as I prepared this message, I looked back and I thought, man, I wish I had or I wish I hadn't. So many things as my children were growing up. But it reminded me of the expectation that God has for us as parents. And as I said, in this expectation, our goal, our desire must be not to provoke our children to wrath. You know what provoke means, right? It means to make them bitter or resentful. Do not be that harsh dad that makes your child bitter. And I'm not talking about angry. If you're a parent, you're going to make them angry on occasion. Amen? Oh, come on now. If you're a parent, you're going to make your children mad every once in a while. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You are. But in your parenting, do not make them bitter, because bitterness lasts. Okay? Understand in raising your children, you're raising the parent of your grandchildren. Now, some of you, you know, you may think that may not mean a lot to you right now, but let me tell you, when you're a grandparent, it means a whole lot. Okay? Because you want your children to be good to those grandchildren. And you want them to give them everything they can possibly give, above and beyond food, shelter, and clothing. You want the spiritual aspect. You want the financial aspect. You want the emotional aspect. Everything taken care of with those kids. But I also remind you that if you're a poor parent, that's what your kids are going to take. And that's the parent they're going to be, because they don't know any different way. You see, we pass down our parenting skills. If they see a father that doesn't care, they'll become a father that doesn't care. If they see a father who's a drunkard, there's a high probability they will be that father that's a drunkard. It's too important for us to take the role of parenting lightly. Do not provoke. You say, okay, Brother Doug, how do I provoke or make my children bitter? By abusing your authority. You ever seen a parent abuse his authority? Have you ever seen a parent that was just had an abusive nature about his children? And we know there is a place for discipline, okay? We know as parents there has to be discipline in the home. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. What's that? The what? The rod of correction. Amen. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Understand. We know that there is a place for discipline in the home. Discipline is not abuse. Discipline is correction and steering. And that's what we're talking about here. And as a parent, you have to understand the point to correcting a child or disciplining a child. The point has to be correction, not punishment. Is there a difference? Absolutely there is. Correction, to correct a child, you're altering or adjusting him to bring him into conformity of the standard expected. When you punish a child, you're retaliating against that child to inflict a penalty for an offense he's committed. As a parent, there is no place for retaliation. There is only place for correction and guidance. Does it make sense? It's the difference between abuse and non-abuse. Don't provoke your children by punishing them. All right? You say, well, my dad punished me. Well, your dad did it wrong. Okay? It's your job to correct, not punish. Now, in correction, you may have to use the rod. Okay? It's all right. But the idea is to bring that child to on the path where they are growing into a productive citizen of the kingdom of God and a productive citizen in our society. Okay? You provoke by abusing. You can provoke by refusing. your authority. Here's a big one today. Proverbs 13 and 24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son." He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines. And that word discipline, once again, is correct or correction. He who loves him corrects him promptly. You see, there are a lot of parents out there who do not believe in discipline. I want to tell you, you're just wrong. God created us. He knows what it takes to make us into a successful and productive adult. That word hate in Proverbs 13:24, that word hate literally means an enemy. An enemy. So he who spares the rod creates an enemy out of his own son. You want to know what's wrong with our society today? You want to know what's wrong with our schools today? What's wrong? There's no discipline. The governments have removed correction out of the hands of the teachers. The parents are refusing to do it. And so the kids are just making up their own rules. And when we try to set them back in the correct path, it's abuse. I want to tell you, when I walk to school uphill 5 miles in the wintertime. Oh, I understand, okay? I understand. But let me tell you something. When I was in school, we had the Board of Education. And the teachers knew how to use it. And when the Board of Education was used, it corrected my wrong behavior. It did. Listen, you've got to love your children enough to correct them. And if that means spanking that bottom, then do it. Do it. Love them enough to do it. I know what society says. Oh, that's child abuse. No, that's child raising. Okay? Oh, do not leave your child to himself. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." You want to let the kids make their own ways? You want to let the kids make their own rules? No! Why? Because they are not equipped to do so. That is your job, mom and dad. It's your job to say no. It's your job to say yes. It's your job to correct bad behavior. Well, Brother Doug, that's why we bring them to church. Don't lay it off on church. Don't lay it off on schools. That is mom and dad's job. You see, so often I kind of get aggravated because, you know, that's what we've got that youth director down there at the church for. No, it's not. They're not here. We're not here to raise your children. We're here to reinforce your children on what they're already getting at home. Okay? Now don't get me wrong. I love your children. I want to teach them absolutely what's right. But we only have them a couple hours a week. Be a mom and dad. Correct them. Bring them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. That's the next point. Bring them up. Raise them. How do you do that? Well, number one, you establish boundaries. That's part of raising, isn't it? Establish boundaries. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." That word train means to formally dedicate. And it was a word that was used like, when a new temple was built, they would formally dedicate that temple to God. The first thing as a parent you must do to be successful is dedicate your child to God. Okay? And I'm not, you know, we're not, we're, which we're overdue. And as I was preparing this, it reminded me we're overdue for a baby dedication day. I understand that. But it's more than a service. It's a when you lift that child before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is your child. You take him. You grow him. and you equip me to equip this child to become a mighty servant in your kingdom. You see, that's what I'm talking about when I say establish boundaries. Set the standard for their life. Dedicate them to the Lord. What does it look like? Well, first of all, it looks like teaching your kids by your example. For example, bring your kids to church. Oh, I just knew I'd get a better amen than that. Bring your kids to church. It hurts me that today church seems to be the first thing that suffers. It seems to be the first thing that we'll put on the back burner. Our kids have baseball practice, no problem on Sunday. We'll just back off church. Our kids have cheerleading practice, no problem. We just won't go to church Sunday night. Our kids have something else going on, no problem. We'll push. And I want to tell you, cheerleading, baseball, sports will not get them through the big challenges of life. God will. Brother Doug, you don't understand. Been there and done that. Okay? Got the t-shirt. 3 kids later made the mistakes. Teach them what faithfulness looks like. What faithfulness to the Lord looks like. Teach them to be involved in your church. In this church. Okay? I think one of the great downfalls that we have in our churches today is we let our kids sit on the bench. And that's all we expect. Okay? As a matter of fact, we'll say, sit there. When you're old enough, we'll get you involved. And so they spend the early elementary years, they spend their teenage years doing absolutely nothing in the church because mom and dad are not encouraging them to do so. You see? We talk about we're raising the church leaders of tomorrow, are we? If we are, we better teach them how to serve today. Get them involved. Brother Doug, they don't want to be involved. Oh my goodness. Heaven forbid, let's not make them do anything they don't want to do. I want to tell you what will happen. If you get them involved, and if you push them a little bit, they'll learn how and start enjoying being involved. Okay? I absolutely love seeing our kids involved in any aspect of the church. Now, I know they can't teach an adult Sunday school class. I'm talking about within reason. However, they can do a lot of things we don't give them credit to do. All right? Get them involved. Establish their boundaries. Show what it looks like to be faithful to the Lord. That's your job as a parent. Once you establish the boundaries, enforce the boundaries. This is the fun part. It said, bring up your child in the nurture. That word nurture is training. It means discipline. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. I love that scripture, don't you? For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. And I've kind of already touched base on spankings. But I want you to consider this. As you set the standard, establish the boundaries, you're going to have to be consistent in your correction. Okay? Now, it's a child's nature to push the boundaries. Right? Some push a lot harder than others, but most children, it's in their nature to push the boundaries. As a parent, you cannot allow the boundaries to move. Okay? What's right today has to be right tomorrow. If it's right for you to be in church today, it's right for you to be in church next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and Sunday after that, Sunday after that. Another thing about consistency. If dad says no, mom back him up. If mom says no, dad back her up. You see, you've got to have the consistent boundaries in force as you build. And you say, this is what we believe, this is what we do, this is why we do it, and we're not changing the boundaries. You see, every time they push to that limit and the boundaries change, they go a little farther. They go a little farther. They go a little farther. And pretty soon, after you've moved the boundaries time and time again, boundaries will mean absolutely nothing to a child. Amen. Have you ever seen a kid told no and they do it anyway? And then the parents said, well, they're just kids. Well, no. What's happening is we're just failing as parents. Okay? I understand a child may not do everything that you tell them. They may even, when you tell them no, do it anyway. But you correct them by bringing them right back within that boundary. And if it means spatting that bottom, spat that bottom. If it means sitting down and talking to them and explaining to them for the 100th time why we don't do this, then sit down and talk to them. But you make sure that you're consistent as a parent. Enforce the boundaries. And always discipline in love, not in anger. Every parent, please look at me. Never spank your child when you're angry. Never. Never. You see, that's just a real quick avenue for abuse. You'll spank a little too hard, get a little too rough. You mean, Brother Doug, what am I supposed to do? Well, when they're doing wrong, and if you're that intense about it, just take them, you know, move them. If they've got to say, okay, Dad, you take over, or okay, Mom, you take over, you go away for an hour, recollect, prayer time, do whatever it takes. But when you approach that kid again, you correct him in love. Okay? Let them see that love, not hot-headed anger. That will make them bitter. Establish the boundaries. Enforce the boundaries. And instruct and encourage. See, honor your father and your mother. I'm sorry. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Training and admonition. That word admonition means to instruct. Training by words. Okay? That doesn't mean you don't have to be that old crusty father that slaps your child in the back of the head every time they bobble. No. No. You don't have to be that mean parent that rips off the belt and just leaves welt marks on them every time, you know, that they falter. No. You see, there's an appropriate time for corporal punishment, and there's an appropriate time to sit down and, okay, let's talk about this thing. To instruct and train by your words. You see, how many of you have raised a teenager or have a teenager now? Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Have you noticed how they soak in every word that we say? When you say, sit down, we need to talk. And they sit down and say, yes, Father, please instill your wisdom into me. Is that the way they do? If they do, come share that with me, because I never got that as a parent. I got, Dad, the eyes roll back, the whatever that is. I don't know what that is, but anyway, that's what I got. They didn't like to have that talk. As a matter of fact, sometimes I thought maybe they'd rather me just wear them out than talk to them, you know. But I've come to the realization they may not always appreciate our counsel, But that does not relieve us of our responsibility to give them our counsel. Set them down. Talk to them. Tell them why. You know, and it's okay. It's okay to talk to your kids. It's okay to explain to them, you don't do this because it will lead to, and you can fill in the blank. As a matter of fact, not only is it okay, I would encourage that. Okay? Because see, that's the difference. That's building a relationship. That's the difference between always being that person sitting there with the belt waiting for the child to mess up so you can whop them on the backside. No. You got to look at God and His relation to us. His relationship to us. Yes, the Bible says that God chastens who He loves, doesn't He? But I'll tell you what, have you ever just sat down and had that talk with God? Sometimes I need that chastening that brings me back to the path I'm supposed to be on. And sometimes I just need that still small voice with God saying, Doug, you're wrong. Doug, you need to change what you're doing. Doug, if you don't change, this is going to happen. Do you have those talks with God? Well, see, that's what we're talking about here. To instruct your children. Sit down with them. Tell them why. Talk to them. And certainly, spend time with your kids in the Word. You know, there are parents that think they're not qualified to share the Word of God with their children, and that's just a shame. Okay? If you've got a child, you are qualified to share the Word of God with your child. You may not be a Bible scholar. It's okay. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to sit down with them and spend 10 minutes reading with them in the Word of God. Okay? If you don't have the answers, you know, tell them, I don't know, but we'll call some of the deacons and find out. You can call me too. I may have to work on it too. Let your kids spend time with them in the Word. You don't have to give them a 2-hour Bible. Let's just sit down with them. Read John 3:16. Psalms chapter 1. Get into the Word with your kids. Let them see that your faith is more than just talk. Not only spend time instructing them in the Word, spend time praying with your kids. You know what your kids need to hear you pray? I may have shared this with you, but if I have, I'm fixing to share it with you again. You know how preachers are, we forget. One of the best times that I recall as a parent, or most special times that I recall as a parent, I didn't get it at that time, but was at night when it came bedtime. Every night my kids would say, Dad, come tuck me in. And I'd go in and tuck them in and we'd have prayer together. They'd say their prayers, I'd say prayer. And it's just a special time. Now, mind you, at that time, I didn't get it. I didn't really, you know, it was just what I did. But you know what? My kids are still praying today. And that means a lot to a father. I'll tell you something, that's something I miss. I miss tremendously with my kids. Then finally, as you instruct them, be encouraging. Don't be that always negative parent. That always, you're not good enough, you could do better. You know, there are some parents, a kid could bring all A's home and the parent would look at the report card and say, yeah, it's pretty good, but this one's an A minus. No, 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 no. Be encouraging to your kids. Encourage them and appreciate them. Because I'll tell you what, moms and dads, you'll miss them when they're gone. You will. I love being a grandparent. I love the stage of life that Beth and I are at right now. But I miss my kids too. You make sure, moms and dads, that you be the absolute best parent that you can possibly be. You do that through encouragement, through instruction, through setting an example for them to see. All right? Most important thing, set an example. Set an example. I know fathers today, they never come to church. They say, yeah, I don't go to church, but I send my kid. Mama takes my kid. You're failing your child. Your kid needs to see you bring him to church or bring her to church. They need to see that example in you. Last thing. If you're going to raise a good kid, you better lead him to have a relationship with a great God. We face things today, our kids face things today, I understand that it's just more challenging than ever before. But I still believe it's entirely possible for them to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ publicly and unashamedly. I truly do. But you've got to put them in a position to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You may be here tonight or this morning. Did I preach that long? Maybe it is tonight. I don't know. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me share it with you. You've got to start there. You've got to start with Jesus. Why? Because the challenges of this life are greater than we can handle. You know, in this Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to get into it a little later, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Satan's big and he don't fight fair. Listen, are you a child of God? If not, will you come for salvation this morning? If you are a child of God, second question, have you taken your public stand and followed the Lord in baptism? Have you been baptized? Well, Brother Doug, baptism doesn't save you. Yes, you're absolutely right. Baptism does not save you. However, it's your public identification with Christ. It's you standing before everybody and saying, I belong to Jesus. And you know what? Sooner or later, you're going to have to declare what side you're on. Publicly. I would invite you to come in this invitation if you've never been scripturally baptized. Maybe you're here today and you've got kids and boy, you're just feeling challenged as a parent. You know, the good news is God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And His ear is open. Any of you that lack wisdom, let Him ask. Maybe you need to spend time at this altar and just ask. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would invite you. Will you respond to Jesus? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of being parents. I thank You for the instruction of Your Word. Help us, Lord, to take Your Word seriously and to use it as we raise our precious children. Lord, as I look in this congregation today, I just see kids that just mean so much and we love them so much, Lord. Help us to set an example for them. Help us to take our stand so that they know how much we love You. And may the example that we set inspire them to take their public stand with You. Lord, we do pray that Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.